So it actually happened. Fuentes went on Piers Morgan. If you remember last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I said there was a question which Piers Morgan was going to turn up. Was he going to give him a softball interview or was he going to go in for the ambush? And Morgan did something quite interesting, to be honest, which is that he started the interview making it seem like it would be softball, and then he pretty quickly turned into a kind of ambush style interview. And there's a lot of very interesting things to discuss here. I really thought the psychological battle between the two of them, especially in terms of pro wrestling ring psychology, is something we're going to look at. And it becomes a lot more interesting if you understand the game Piers Morgan was playing and the game that Nick was playing. So we'll go into all of that. And then we'll go into the various bits of the interview. And broadly speaking, there's a section on Nick's dad. There's a section on black crime statistics and whether Nick is racist and things like this. There's a section on, Holocaust and my mum and all of that sort of stuff. There is women and incels. And then finally, they talked a little bit about Trump and Vance at the end. So we're going to get to all of that. In fact, I'm going to put this up here. Hopefully it stays up there so you can see it over my shoulder. But before we get going, Christmas is coming up. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Trivium, the bestseller there. I'll play the ad, and when we come back, we're going to talk about all of this.
Academic Agency.
All right, so let's talk about some basic ring psychology from the world of pro wrestling. Now, if you remember in past videos, I talked about different types of heels, okay? There are the chicken shit heels, like the Honky Tonk Mans of this world. There are the big bruiser heels, like a Warlord or a Barbarian or Brock Lesnar, something like this, okay, if you want to come more modern. But then, probably at the apex of the heel kind of hierarchy is what I would call the ring general, okay, the veteran ring general. This is Ric Flair. It is the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. It is a pro who knows what he's doing and who absolutely understands psychology, ring psychology, crowd psychology. And if you have a look at the game plan, if you watch any match with those sorts of figures, you know, what the babyface wants to do, he wants to get the crowd going. He wants to build momentum. The babyface, which is Nick in this scenario, is always trying to build momentum for himself and for his fans, okay, to get something going. Right, and a lot of babyface offense in wrestling is built around, 10 punches in the corner or, it's stuff to get people going, okay? Heel psychology, on the other hand, is all about disrupting and breaking up that momentum to try to make sure the babyface can't get much going. In the early parts of matches, typically, right, there'll be a shine sequence where the babyface comes in roaring, Hogan rips the shirt off, etc. The heel will try to kill that momentum by bailing out of the ring, stalling, things like this. And usually there's a moment in the match, a transition, when the heel does something underhanded to gain the upper hand. Okay, thumb to the eye, powder in the face to blind, maybe the referee, maybe the manager distracts. Okay, the manager uses some sort of distraction tactic, or In more sinister scenarios, they'll do something emotionally manipulative. They'll put up a picture of, you know, the wrestler's wife or their kid or something, and they'll gain, you know, they'll cut off the momentum by doing something like that. And Piers Morgan, at the start of this, seemed like he was going to go in for a softball. It seemed like it was, oh, let's get to know Nick Fuentes and all this sort of stuff. And after about 6-7 minutes, then you got this transition, and he did it in a really sneaky, underhanded manner by bringing Fuentes' dad into it. Like, of all of the things that Nick has ever said, all of the clips that are out there, him and his researchers, Piers, found this story that Nick told about his dad avoiding black restaurants, okay? And he chose to go on this angle. And you could see, watching it, that this threw Nick for a loop, because Nick was ready to defend himself. He was not ready for Piers to go after his old man, who's a real guy, whose name is not out there, who's got a real job, right? And so now he's in the position of not defending himself, but defending his dad. In interview terms, this was the equivalent of Piers Morgan throwing, like, salt in Nick's eyes, and then the low blow, and, you know, literally kicked him in the balls right at the start of the match. And it took Nick a while, I would say, to find his feet at the start, because Morgan threw him off. I thought Nick did pretty well, okay? But this was, even by Piers Morgan's snaky, underhanded, sneaky standards, this was a particularly low blow, I thought, to take this angle. And it took Nick 6-7 minutes to figure out how he was going to play this, okay? And he took he chose to call out what Morgan was doing, to say, like, look, you know, I'm famous, but my dad isn't. There could be all sorts of consequences. I know what you're doing, and it's disgusting, etc. So I thought that was a pretty good way of coming back. But clearly, you know, it might as well have been a chair shot or something that disorientated him right at the start of the match, okay? So this is how Morgan started what you might call his heat sequence, his control sequence. And what you've got to bear in mind is, you know, what are each of the people trying to get out of this interview, okay? Piers Morgan, let's start with Nick. Nick, what is he trying to get out of this interview? He's trying to get himself in front of new audiences, okay, to increase the level of his influence and his fame, to get his message out there, and also to try to bring more people onto his side, okay? So that is basically what I assume why Nick was doing the interview, okay? Maybe, you know, he could say differently, but I would say strategically, why else are you going to do something like Piers Morgan? Okay, from Piers Morgan's point of view, other than the box office and the gate, of course, you've got to think of Vince sniffing the money. Like, obviously, you know, ultimately, Piers Morgan is just getting massive payday, massive view counts from this. I think like 3-4 million people have watched this, and it's only been a couple of days. So obviously, that's the first thing he's getting out of it. But in terms of the meta politics and in terms of the politics, what Morgan wanted to do is he wanted to draw out, you know, he started the interview by saying, look, there are two Nick Fuenteses. There's this, this kind of angel who comes and talks to Tucker Carlson, and then there's the one on his show. And he was trying to draw out that second Nick Fuentes, okay? And this early tactic of bringing his dad into it, I think, meant that Nick took about 10-15 minutes to figure out what he was going to do, right? And the fact that Morgan started the interview making it seem like, oh, well, this may be softball, okay? And I did say, and I think various people said, you've got to watch Piers because he's a sneaky, you know, he knows what he's doing and he's a veteran in this game. And, you know, he did. He basically tried to lure him in, and then, you know, whether they say it was an ambush or not, I think it was an ambush. I think he started the interview with this, you know, disorientating tactic. And then he did the, okay, we're going to play clips from your past and kind of trying to make you defend yourself. And I think Nick was, you know, because the dad was brought into it, he was in the, like, he was caught between wanting to say, well, look, you know, these things aren't racist. I want to defend him, like, in the conventional way. And then also just embracing it and saying, yeah, I am. Everybody's, you know, everybody's racist, and I am, and I'm unapologetic, and so on. And so, you know, there was a bit of disjunction there. I think in the end, Nick landed on, yeah, I'm going to own it. Yeah, I'm going to just bluster through this. I'm going to kind of knock through this liberal dogma, blow through the taboos, you know, and bust open, break apart, shatter the Boomer Truth regime. I think that's what he was basically going for by the end of the interview, but it took a while to get there. Okay, so, yeah, in terms of what they were both trying to do, that's how you have to kind of assess both performances, okay? And, I mean, I think Piers Morgan, for his part, you know, I mean, if you think about some of the stuff he did, he not only did he do this thing at the start by bringing the dad into it, but whenever Nick was starting to build some momentum, whenever he was getting some of his swagger back, okay, and, you know, in terms of babyface, I've said, I mean, like a young Shawn Michaels, something like that. Like, you know, Nick is cocky. He's definitely a cocky babyface, right? And he's a little bit cheeky, and he has some, I guess you'd say, heel. You know, he's like a cool 90s babyface, something like that, who's got heel characteristics, I guess you'd say. So, and he need, like, in order for Nick to get himself over, he has to show some of that cheekiness. He has to show some of that swagger. He has to, you know, get his shots in when he can. And what Morgan did throughout the interview was that whenever Nick started getting going, he'd change tack. He'd switch the topic. He'd, you know, bring in some new distraction. And he did it several times during the interview. One when he brought this Finkelstein guy in, which was ridiculous. One was when they were just getting somewhere on the Holocaust conversation, and suddenly he switched to talking about women and incels. This was kind of like, so Morgan did a number of rug pulls through the interview where it's like, well, they were getting somewhere on this topic, Nick was starting to get over, then he cut him off, you know, again, thumb to the eye, right to the face, whatever it is, choke. a lot of slimy tactics from Morgan to try to deny Nick momentum. And he did do those things, Morgan, but Nick also did start getting things going in each of these different segments. So why don't we now go through each of the segments? In terms of the whole section about Nick's dad, I mean, I thought Nick handled it as well as he might, given what a horrible, you know, dirty move it was on Morgan's part. I don't really, like, again, it's hard when you're in a situation like that, you're thinking on your feet, you're kind of, you know, you're in the moment, you know, maybe you haven't prepared for this sort of thing. So it's easy to, it's like being on Mastermind or something. You think it's easy until you're there. Okay. One of the things I don't know why Nick didn't say straight off is like, look, Piers, everybody knows this, right? In any town like Chicago, there are white-only areas and black-only areas. You know, everybody knows that's a rough place. I mean, I know people who lived in America, relatives of mine, who would, you know, plainly say, in this was in the mid-90s, but they would say, like, look, we've been into restaurants and the guy has come over us, you know, all the people there are black, and the owner of the restaurant would come over and say, sorry, man, this is a black restaurant. The white neighborhood's over there. Okay, that sort of stuff used to happen and probably still does happen all the time in America. And everybody understands that, okay? So I don't know why it took quite so long to get to that, or you didn't just come out and say it. But then Morgan's framing on a lot of questions is there's so much bullshit to get through to just make these sorts of points that I understand why it may have taken a while, okay? And he was disorientated as well. So Then they got into this more general conversation on black crime, and Nick was but kind of more on familiar territory here because, you know, he spent his whole life training for these sorts of arguments. And Morgan and his team were particularly irritating during this section where, you know, they just wouldn't understand per capita. They, you know, kept on coming back to these stupid comparisons of, you know, oh, well, look at how many white mass shooters there are. And Nick was just trying to get him back all the time to per capita proportionality. And Morgan just, you know, he either pretends that he doesn't understand or he actually doesn't understand. That was really frustrating, that whole segment. So I think Nick got the better of that because everybody, like anybody with half a brain cell, understands what Nick was talking about there. And Morgan was being so disingenuous and so irritating. I was reminded of the millennial woes meme that so much leftist argumentation is simply just not pretending to know, but pretending not to know things. Per capita, you know, it's irritating. Really is irritating. I also didn't like this move that Morgan kept on making, as like, oh, well, my fact checkers have said it and your figures are wrong type thing. I mean, look, you don't need to have a PhD in American crime statistics to know that the proportions are way out of whack, okay? You know, I mean, we go back to 1352 memes. But everybody understands these stats at this point in 2025. So for Morgan to be that disingenuous was really irritating. And I thought Nick was getting the upper hand during that. And just as he was, Morgan, again, ever the snake, ever the ring general, moved it back round to another topic. He then was like, right, well, let's talk about your anti-Semitism, basically. Let's talk about the Holocaust and all of this sort of stuff. And again, I mean, I'll be like hypercritical here, but I felt like Nick maybe gave them too much props on this. Like, I don't think he needed to say, like, oh, these are exceptional people and all that sort of stuff. For my money, I think mafia tactics explains a lot of what they do more than like, you know, these are exceptional and so on. But that's a very minor nitpick. You know, one of my kind of hobby horses, I guess you'd say. But in terms of how this bit went, I mean, one of the most ridiculous moments in the interview is when Nick was saying, well, look, the trouble is with this big event that happened in the middle of the 20th century is that they use it for political gain. And Morgan said, oh, I don't know anybody. I don't know any right-thinking person who thinks that they use it for political gain. And then he literally brought on this guy who came on and said, my mum, you know, all of this sort of... I mean, that was the most boomery part from Morgan. And this is another actual aspect of the dynamic here. There was definitely a generational thing going on. Boomer Morgan, Zoomer Nick, okay? And again, to come back to the pro wrestling analogies, it's like, I mean, if you can imagine, it's the mid-90s, it's Shawn Michaels, who's cocky, who's, you know, who's new, who's kind of young. But then you've still got, you know, in the same product or on the same TV screens, Hulk Hogan playing a Memphis stooging heel, or Jeff Jarrett still doing like a bit of the old school. And basically, this was one of the clashes in the whole... Morgan was doing all the boomer truth stuff. He was doing all the boomer talking points, which, from a certain point of view, was very 10, 15 years ago. It was a playbook that used to work, but no longer has any purchase on the Zoomer mind. And this was a bit of a disjunction between Nick and Piers, and possibly between members of the audience, ones who still have that boomer mindset and ones who basically have seen through what I call the boomer truth regime. And what Nick did during this segment, I thought, he is, how can I put this? He is happy to jump, right, between, like, I mean, he did this thing where he said, oh, I think it was 7 million. I thought it was probably 100 times that. Piers didn't actually understand what Nick was doing in that moment. Okay, maybe he was, again. So Morgan had all of his own little disorientating moves and so on. But Nick also had a few tricks up his sleeve. And one of them was, rather than go down the expected route of denial and all those arguments you've heard a million times, and all of you know, Zyklon B or whatever, right? Rather than go down that route, he went down the opposite route of affirming and saying, actually, I think it was more. I think it was probably 100 times more. You know, Morgan did not understand what Nick was doing there. And I thought that was one of the more interesting parts of the whole interview. Then he brought this Finkelstein dude on, and I mean, it almost proved Nick's point for him. You know, I mean, I put up a tweet saying, like, you know, with this guy's face saying, because Hitler, therefore you cannot complain about the 20 million foreigners that have come to your country. That's basically the gambit again and again. And whether he meant to or not, Morgan proved Nick's point for him, that this card has been, at this point, overplayed. Now we're 80 years removed from World War II. The playbook is no longer working, especially as young Zuma men continue to believe they have the raw end of the deal, and that these bullshit arguments that keep on being rolled out, you know, they're starting to lose their purchase, okay? And that whole part, okay, was, in my view, one of the most significant smashings of the Boomer truth regime that we have seen, period. They also got into this bit where they talked about Kanye West and, you know, Hitler and things like this. And again, what, I mean, Nick had strategic choices to make throughout this, okay? Started off on the back foot because he brought his dad into it. But at some point, Nick decided, right, rather than play the defensive game, I'm going to go on offense. I'm going to deny your liberal premises, your moral kind of priors, and I'm going to start affirming all the edgy stuff you're throwing at me. I'm just going to own it, and I'm going to throw it back at you, okay? So they got into this whole thing, like, oh, Hitler's cool, or Hitler's a monster, or whatever. And what Nick was doing, you have to understand, is smashing through the taboo, puncturing the taboo, okay? It's the equivalent of Monty Python making fun of, the British kind of establishment in the 1960s, or Life of Brian, the Christian establishment, whatever. Monty Python making fun of it, Monty Python breaking through the taboo, okay? Then, once that was done, it lost its authority. So what you're going to understand is Nick is doing the same thing in an iconoclastic manner, and he said that himself. During it, and I don't think that Piers Morgan quite understood exactly what Nick was doing, or maybe he did. Maybe he is the genius I said he was last week. I mean, certainly in terms of bucks, he is, right. But I don't think in his heart of hearts Morgan understands the game that Nick was playing there. So I would give that section to. I would give that section and the black crime section, these were both sections where Nick was building momentum after starting the match on the back foot, after Morgan threw salt in his eyes and gave him a massive low blow, okay? So then, this was where it was a little bit frustrating in my view. Several other people I saw said the same thing. Just as he was getting somewhere, okay, the hope spot was cut off again by Morgan, who then quickly switched over to talk about women and incels and a different, like, that whole line. And what was interesting here is that Nick actually teased out a different way of, like, so, and several people have pointed this out. Liberals, okay, when push comes to shove, fall back on, calling people gay, making fun of the fact they haven't had sex and all this sort of stuff. You're a virgin and all this sort of stuff. So in the end, Morgan was trying to embody this kind of like macho shaming frame against Nick, who was just owning it. Who was just saying, yeah, I don't, you know, I am an incel, etc. Women, you know, these are my reasons. Women are like this, etc., etc. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that this is where I think people who don't know Nick, people who are neutral observers, boomers, I think they struggle with this sort of stuff. I think that if Nick was going to lose people anywhere, it was going to be in this section. And part of that is generational. Part of that is people, you know, like if you're my age, look, just go to a club and poll. You know, just, like what's the big deal? But it was like when I was 20 or whatever. So we don't quite understand all of these talking points. I mean, I understand them. I've come to understand them. I think I know where Nick and friends are coming from. But a lot of people my age don't get it, and older just don't. They just don't get it. And so if Morgan was going to have put people off Nick anywhere in the interview, it would have been in this particular section. Although I thought Nick did, like, he was prepared for some of these kind of gotcha questions, and Morgan was pretty much inconsistent during this. Subsequently, by the way, a lot of stuff has come out about Piers Morgan's wife, which has frankly shocked me, that Piers Morgan is like an open cuckold, that his wife just slags him off in the media all the time. They go on marriage break. She's on this cheating website called Ashley Madison. She seems to openly cheat on him. Like, there's all sorts of weird things about Piers Morgan's marriage, which maybe explains a lot. But all of that stuff has come out after the interview, okay? But during the interview, looking at just what happened there, I thought Nick forced Morgan into a few contradictory little frames there. And, you know, the conversation they had around misogyny and about, like, hating women and all of that, you could tell that Morgan cared less about this stuff than about some of the earlier stuff with race or, you know, anti-Semitism, etc. So this felt like it was thrown in there, but its actual purpose in the structure of things was to get off this. If you ask me, this is where Nick was really rocking and rolling. And this whole section on women and incels, again, cut off the momentum. Nick started getting it back in a different context, but now they're talking about something else, right? And then finally, they were talking about Trump and Vance and GOP stuff. I mean, okay, fine. So you kind of had, like, if I was rating, like, in a pro wrestling way, you think, you know, there's the shine, there's the heel control sequence, the heat sequence, the babyface comeback, and then there's the finish. If you ask me, the finish of this was, yeah, it was kind of, you know, kind of ended on a yes. Okay, it was kind of a lackluster finish, and then largely down to where Morgan decided to go at the end. All in all, how did it go? Who won? I mean, I think Nick went over. I think Nick did win, okay, the match overall, but it wasn't easy. This was Nick against a wily opponent, a veteran, a ring general, who did put him through the ringer, who did hit him with stuff he wasn't expecting, who did score points against him, and I think if he reflected on it, he'd admit that, you know, it wasn't like a knockout 5-minute squash match. This was something that he had to work for. But ultimately, I think Morgan's tactics failed. I think that most people watching it would come out, you know, thinking that Piers Morgan was a snake and a piece of, you know, piece of shit, basically. And also that Nick would, you know, they'd understand a lot of where Nick was coming from. He got to make enough decent points through there, right, to cut through all of the BS that Morgan was throwing at him. Will it win over everybody? I don't think so. I think that Morgan probably did enough to... I mean, I've seen assessments on Twitter and so on I saw Bastani gave it to Morgan, which kind of disappointing from Aaron. But I saw Peter McCormack, who, you know, I did an interview with a while back. He gave it to Morgan. So there's a kind of libertarian and there's a kind of prominent leftist who are both, you know, not Priedus, but they're not like paid shills, you know, but they've still got some liberal priors and so on. Morgan did enough, right, for them to say, well, okay, what's there? Okay, what's there? Because one of the things that Morgan did is because the framing was all about this, you know, are you a racist? Are you this or that? Blah, blah, blah. You know, in a way, Nick was not able to get onto serious, substantive topics to really break it down and explain it. I mean, at one point, he started getting into the Open Society and Karl Popper, and, you know, that was probably the apex for Nick, the height of his babyface comeback, if you want to put it that way. But Morgan, like I said, because he's a veteran and because ultimately he's shallow, right? He's a shallow media figure. Morgan always brought it back to less substantive things, to gotcha clips, to, you know, are you a misogynist? And this, like, just annoying kind of liberal stuff, basically. So, you know, Nick was not able to get through to all the stuff that he talks about on his show on a nightly basis, for example, because there was too much crap to get through. So even though I'd give the match to Nick, I'd say, you know, for a certain type of viewer, Morgan probably did enough to, you know, stop them, like, becoming Nick fans or whatever. That said, having a look at comments, having a look at, you know, timeline up and down, lots and lots and lots of other people have given it to Nick. And I think on balance, Morgan was a little bit too old school, a little bit too boomer in you know, overall for his methods and tactics to win over, you know, because he's up against a different proposition. And like I said, Nick started to having to use a playbook that Piers Morgan himself was not quite used to and didn't quite understand what he was doing. That was certainly in evidence in this section here. Okay, so all in all, I give it to Nick. All in all, it was a good performance under very difficult circumstances against a cunning, sneaky opponent like Piers Morgan, kind of knew what he was doing. He'd done some research, you know, but overall, it's another win for Nick. All right, I think that'll do. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency. You know, there's been quite a lot of stuff recently. Milo went on Tucker, and I still haven't watched that, but I'm kind of interested in some of the, you know, the gay question that Tucker keeps on talking about. So I might give that a watch. Rupert Lowe went on Tucker. I did watch that one. Maybe if people want reviews of those, I may do them if I get time. I've been busy this week. I was in London yesterday doing another interview myself. So, you know, that's why I'm a little bit behind on stuff this week. But if people want reviews of those things, I'll have a look. But for this one, I give it to Nick. Pick up the Trivium today, and I'll see you next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.